church is a hospital. The church is a hospital. You know, one of the things that is so impressive about hospitals, besides the bill that you receive at the end of the day, is actually the fact that they are not allowed to not give service to someone who can't pay. They must give service to those who can't pay. By the way, before I say anything else, I will say that all of us owed a debt that we could not pay. All of us owed something to sin and to death that we could not pay. And yet the church is a hospital. Before I go any further, I just feel so strongly that I should pray. Let's pray real quick. Lord God, I pray that as I minister in this word, I pray that it would be encouraging, that it would be uplifting, that it would be exhorting, that it would hit everybody right where they're at. And Lord God, I pray that you would make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer to write upon the tablets of people's hearts, of their minds, and let the indelible print of God be on their life. Lord, help me to communicate this in the way that you want me to. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the church is not a place for the perfect. It is a place for the plagued. I don't know if you know this, but you might have some friends, like I've got friends that say, oh no, I can't go to church. I got to clean up my life. No, you don't have to clean up your life. The church is not a place for the perfect. It's a place for the plagued. And if anyone thinks that perfect people go to church, you haven't been to church. If you think that I'm perfect, you don't know me. You got to get around me and find out that I fall drastically short of the glory of God. But thank God for this thing called grace and mercy, because he makes up my difference. Can you say amen to that? I want to encourage you, don't believe the propaganda, the negative press, the bad press, and the bad propaganda about the Christian church. Because probably everybody out there who is not living underneath a rock has probably heard that the church is full of hypocrites. You're right. It is full of hypocrites. Every church is full of hypocrites, and there's room for one more, so just come on down. I mean, the thing is that nobody's perfect. Remember, the church is not for a perfect people. The church is for people who are plagued. Don't believe about the propaganda about the Christian church, especially from those who have been hurt, those who have been offended, those who have been disappointed, or people who have never even been to church. Don't believe that press. You've got to come and see it and feel it and experience it all for yourself. Why would I do that, Pastor Jake? I've heard bad things. Hey, look, I've heard bad things about different restaurants, but I've gone there and you know what? My experience has been completely different than what people told me it was all about. Just because they like to eat Vienna sausage, no slam on anybody who likes Vienna sausage, but that is not the taste of many, many people. And they might say, man, Vienna sausage is the most wonderful thing in the world. By the way, I do like Vienna sausage. I don't eat it, but I like it. And you know, they might say it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And then somebody else looks at it and they're like, is that even meat? What is that thing? You see, everybody's taste is different. But I will say this, that Jesus is for everyone. You know, the chances that there are people out there that simply don't understand what Jesus made the church to be are people that probably complain about the church. Well, there's so many hypocrites in church. Yeah, they're supposed to be there. There's so many sinners in church. That's right. That's what they're supposed to be there for. There's so many people that are liars in church. You're right. That's what the church is for, so that we can be changed to be like Jesus. I think you've heard me say it a few weeks ago that never yet have we seen an already gutted, scaled, cleaned fish hop into a boat straight out of the ocean. We've never seen it yet. But the Bible calls us to be fishers of men. Yeah. What that means is that we're supposed to catch the fish that are still slimy, scaly, full of all kinds of junk on the inside. And the church is meant to be like the processing plant where they get cleaned up and when they become delicious to eat. Can I tell you what Jesus made the church to be? Because sometimes people's opinion and Jesus' opinion are completely different. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to believe your opinion. I'm going to believe Jesus' opinion. It's not that I don't like you. It's just that I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no one that can come to the Father except through him. So this is what Jesus thinks the church should be and what he made it to be. This is what he made it to be. Jesus made the church to be the perfect vehicle by which imperfect people, that's me, find the mercy and the grace of God to be made perfect. I want to say that again. It is the perfect vehicle by which imperfect people find the mercy and the grace of God to be made perfect. Hallelujah. Make no mistake, my friend, Jesus wants to change you. Amen. Jesus wants to change me. And he's still working on me, thank God, because I need to change, right? I'm thinking about how I can pray for people to have hemorrhoids and diarrhea and all kinds of stuff. See, Jesus needs to change me. He needs to fix that aspect of me so that I pray for their blessing instead of other things. Yeah. You know, here at this church, we believe this. We believe that everyone needs Jesus. Amen. We believe that everyone needs a local church. And we believe that everyone needs a pastor. In our post-Christian society, there are so many people that believe that church is not necessary, that pastors are not necessary, that Jesus, in many ways, is not necessary, that all you need to do is you just need to be a good person. But even Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God the Father." Yeah. When we're made into this image, we become good. But until then, we've got a lot to do, don't we? Look, the church is the hospital, and Jesus is the great physician. The church is the hospital. Jesus is the great physician. Me as the pastor, I'm not the great physician. That's why I'm not trying to fix you. I'm trying to get us into the presence of Jesus so that Jesus can work on us. Can you say amen to that? I want to point you to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 31 in the New King James Version of the Bible, because as Melanie said earlier, we only preach out of the Bible. He said this, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" You know what that means? That means that people come to a hospital because they're sick and we don't deride them because of it. That means that people know where they can get help. You can get help for whatever ails you in the presence of Jesus. It doesn't overwhelm him. It doesn't worry him. It doesn't concern him in the sense that he can't do something about it. Jesus can heal everything. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, you know what Jesus said about the start of his ministry? This is what Jesus said, and it's so powerful. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because," you know that word "because" means? It's a word that says it's for this reason. He was anointed for a reason, and these are the reasons. It says, "Because he has anointed me," or given me the God ability, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Now, if you're anything like me and you know a little bit about the English language and everything, you'll just kind of read right through this passage and you won't think twice because you think you know what the words mean. But you know, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in a number of different languages. And in this passage, it was written in the language of Greek. And these Greek words, man, they've got so much meaning to them that they were translated into a single word. But it really has a greater, deeper, more important meaning that we need to learn how to dig out. And it's good Bible study principles that will help you to do that. Maybe one of these days we'll go through some of that stuff. But I want to tell you that when Jesus said that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, you know that word brokenhearted, what it means in the original language is this: shattered. It means shattered people. Jesus was sent to heal shattered people. I mean, this is beyond Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. When all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but Jesus can. He came to heal the shattered life. My friend, if you're shattered today, Jesus came to heal and to put back your shattered life, but probably not the way that it was before. He came to put it back together again better than he had it before. The Bible says that Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know that word captives? It means more than you think that it means. What it means is this: prisoners of war. Prisoners of war, captives, people who were captured in a time of war. You may not know this, but there is a war going on for your soul right now in this moment. There is a war going on for your mind. There is a war going on for your emotions and your passions that the devil wants to take it, but Jesus deserves it. There is a war going on, and you might be captive in your heart. By the way, just in a very natural sense, some people remain prisoners of war when the war is over, don't they? Yeah. Prisoners of war don't just get released when the war is over. And for many of our soldiers and many of our service members, they've come back from overseas, from wars and things, and the war for them is still not over. I believe that the statistic is something very similar to that 22 veterans per day take their own life. And that is a horrible statistic to have to look at and see. And people feel so helpless. So many people feel like there's nothing that they can do about it but bring awareness. I believe that Jesus can heal every one of those 22 young men and women that are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorders. It's something that Jesus can get into. See, doctors, they can't fix certain things. They can fix the physical sometimes, but they cannot fix the heart of man. They cannot fix attitudes. They cannot fix pain in those kinds of ways. And so some people feel like there's no way out. Can I tell you, my friend, if you're watching today, that we care, that Jesus cares, and that he can heal your broken heart, and that post-traumatic stress disorder, he can heal that too. I think so many people think that it's simply a medical thing and that they've got to put it into the hands of psychologists and psychiatrists, and that's the only way that they're going to find relief, or maybe they got to smoke a joint to feel release. But you know what? I want to tell you that Jesus can do more than simply mask it, simply give you a mechanism to deal with it, that he can do more than help you to cope with it. But Jesus can heal you from the very core of your brain and your being, and he can restore you to who you were before. It is possible. And I'm fighting for you to be restored. You know, that word oppressed, the Bible says that Jesus came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It means this. It means crushed and bruised. You know, if you've been crushed in your world, if you've been bruised in your heart, maybe it was your parents' words that bruised your heart or crushed your spirit. The Bible says that people can endure a broken bone, but a crushed spirit, no man can endure. I want to tell you that Jesus does not want you to endure a crushed spirit. He wants you to be healed. You know how he's going to do it? Through the church. Amen. If you're shattered, crushed, if you're a prisoner of war, if you're poverty stricken because he came to preach the good news to the poor, you know what the good news to the poor is? You don't have to be poor anymore. That's the good news to the poor. Amen. Or maybe you can't see because he came to preach recovery of sight to the blind. Maybe things have come up in your life and you just can't see beyond today. Maybe you can't see beyond your current moment. There's so much noise in the way that you can't see beyond it. Jesus is specially equipped for you. The Bible says that he was anointed. That means he had the equipment of heaven to heal and to take care of all these things. By the way, I'm going to give you a sneak peek into the future of this message for just a moment, into your little proverbial crystal ball, if you will. Each of these symptoms, brokenheartedness, prisoners of war, captives, crushed, bruised, shattered lives, every single one of these symptoms is actually caused by the same root. Same root. It's important that we would have ourselves understand that we can be healed by the presence of God. I want to talk to you for a moment about the worst pandemic disease that has ever hit this planet. And it's not what you think. It's not the bubonic plague. It's not the yellow fever. It's not this or that or the other thing. And it certainly is not COVID-19. The worst pandemic disease to ever hit this planet is something that every human being on this earth, even pastors, that's me, has been plagued by the same disease. You know what it is? It's the disease of sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If you think you don't have a sin problem, my friend, you've got a sin problem. You know why? Because all of us, myself included, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Or in another translation, the glorious standard of God. In Romans 6:23, just a few verses later, a few chapters later, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death." See, that's why it's a plague, because sin causes death. Sin is not just a whoopsie. It's not just something that happens. It causes an effect in our life. The wages of sin is death. Listen, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Man, instead of having death, we could have eternal life, and we can do that through Jesus Christ. Now, when I say that word sin, I hope you didn't just shut your thing off. I hope you're still here. Because listen, when I say sin, like we don't like even the sound of that word, do we? We don't even like the way that it sounds. In fact, sin just sounds like L, right? For those of you that are familiar with Jimmy Fallon, he does that whole thing, that L, right? And sin is just ill. And some people have learned to live with ill. You know, I've got friends and family and stuff who live in the continental United States. Now, this is no judgment. It's just a different way of living. Now, in Hawaii, we shower every day. We shower sometimes multiple times a day. Can I hear an amen? And there are sections of our country that, although it is possible for them to shower every day, they don't. And you know, to me, that's just ill. Why? Because there are millions of dying skin cells on my body every day that I need to remove. I got to get it off of me because it's ill. And I want to make sure that I'm removing that, because if I don't, I don't know if people's sense of smell is not as good in the continental United States or something, but you start to smell a little funky, my friend. I still love you, but you smell funky. You know, just like sauerkraut. I love it, but it smells funky. It's important that we realize that we've got to be cleaned up in the presence of God. And Jesus wants to give us a Holy Ghost shower so that we don't have to have that sin complex smelling up our life. You know, the Bible says that we have to admit that we've got sin. But sometimes when we admit that we've got sin in our life, we feel like we're admitting that we are somehow bad and terrible and horrible. My friend, you're not. Amen. You're not bad and terrible and horrible just because you have sin in your life. You know what? Jesus came to obliterate sin and to give us the ability to be free from it. So you know what? Here's the thing. Sin is not a judgment on who we are. It is the name of a disease that is destroying our life, for which there is, listen to this, a 100% effective cure. Sin is destroying lives, but there is a 100% effective cure. And you might be out there asking, yeah, but what's sin, Pastor Jake? I mean, isn't sin relative? Like, some cultures think that it's okay to do that, and some cultures think it's okay to do this, and some cultures. So sin is relative, right, Pastor Jake? No, sin is not relative. Sin is defined. Yeah. I want to tell you what sin is. This is what sin is. Sin is anything that separates us from God. Yeah. See, because Jesus is life. And the wages of sin is death. So here's the thing, is that if we're dying, it's because of sin, not because of life. Yeah. And so here's what I want to tell you. This sin is anything that separates us from God. Now listen, anything that separates us from God. Well, like what? Well, it could be our character. Maybe our character is not where it needs to be and it separates us from God. Well, then that's sin. Maybe it's our attitudes. Maybe we've got a stinking attitude and we got to get rid of that stinking thinking so that we can think like how Jesus thinks. Our attitudes may be the problem. Maybe it's our desires. The Bible says that we ask and we receive not because we want to consume it on our own lust. In other words, our desires are out of place. That's sin. How about relationships? Sometimes we have relationships that we focus on more than we focus on God. The Bible says, "You shall not have any other gods before me." And if anyone, even if my wife, takes the place of God in my life, that's sin. Because it's out of order. My priorities are out of order. If your kids are the center of your world, I know it's an unpopular opinion, and it's not even an opinion. It's God's order. Jesus said, "You will have no other gods before me." And if your kids say, "I don't want to go to church," and you bow to that, they're God, not God. I know that, isn't that so hard to hear? But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you because I love you. And if you don't have your priorities right, then there's going to be problems in your world. You know, some other things that separate us from God are the love of money. Now, let me be really clear. We talk a lot about money in this church. And I'll tell you why. It's not because we want it. It's because the Bible says that the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money, the lust of money, the chasing after of money is the root of every kind of evil. So we're going to use money as a tool. We're going to buy souls back from the pit of hell with money. We are going to utilize money to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. But we're not chasing after money. We're chasing after Jesus. Money is simply a tool to get the job done. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? Is that a little bit hard? I'm sorry. I'm getting a little bit excited because Jesus is just so much more awesome than money. You know why? Because if I have Jesus, I don't need money. And you're thinking, yeah, right, Pastor Jay, that's a really holy thing to say. No, look, Jesus needed money once to pay taxes, right? And I hate paying taxes. I call it the infernal revenue service, right? I don't like paying taxes. But this is what Jesus did. He knew that it was the right and lawful thing for him to do. So he told his disciples, "I don't got no money. What you're going to do is you're going to go down to the shore of the lake here, cast your hook in, and the first fish that you take up, there's going to be money in that." You know what? I hate fishing. In fact, it's not really that. I do hate fishing, but I only hate fishing when I don't catch something. I like catching and I like eating. I don't like the fishing process. Like, I don't just like throwing a hook in the water for no reason, right? Can you imagine if this was you? And you had no money, but you needed money. And Jesus says, "Go down to the lake, cast your hook into the water. And the first one that you bring up, look inside of its mouth." And guess what was in the fish's mouth? Money. I would start fishing all the time. Because if I can find money in the fish's mouth, I'm going to fish that thing until there's no more fish. You know what I'm talking about? It's important that we realize that Jesus can make things happen. We don't even need money sometimes because Jesus just makes it happen. If somebody gives you something for free, isn't that the same as getting the same amount of money as it would have cost you to buy it? Yeah. So Jesus can do miracles in that respect. We don't need to love money. We need to love Jesus. You know what else keeps us from Jesus? Lying. Lying keeps us from Jesus because it's a behavior that doesn't fall in with the kingdom of God. The Bible says that there are no liars in heaven. I want to make it to heaven. I want to be part of God's kingdom. So I'm going to choose to tell the truth. Well, aren't there good times to lie? No, not there is not one good time to lie. Well, what if a better outcome will come as a result of lying? There's no such thing because the wages of sin is death. There might be temporary relief, but lying is never the answer. If I were you, I would choose to tell the truth and believe God for a miracle if you need deliverance, because he's in the business of delivering people. Amen? Amen? What we should feel is we should feel a great hope because we have a great physician and a great Savior. So that means that if we've got sin in our life, praise God, we've got a great physician and a great Savior that is able to cure us from those things. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, it's a little bit of a long passage, and I want to just break it down real simply to you, but this is what it says. For he himself, talking about Jesus, is our peace. By the way, you need peace, you need Jesus. Who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. See, there was a separation between you and me and God. There was a wall of separation. But he abolished it, verse 15, in his flesh, the enmity or the fighting, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. What this means is that Jesus absorbed you into his own self so that you could have peace with God, because Jesus had peace with God. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile, that means get along and repair the relationship, both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. I'm telling you today that I'm preaching peace to you. I'm telling you how you can have peace with God. You don't have to be separated anymore. All it takes is the erasure of sin in our life. And it can only happen through one person. His name is Jesus Christ. By the way, avoiding God doesn't take care of the problem. Coming to Jesus can heal the problem. Everyone needs Jesus. Here's another way of looking at it. Jesus wants to separate us from the things that separate us from him. So I don't have a really great analogy, so this is a bad analogy. But you know, on our bed in our bedroom, we've got body pillows, right? And sometimes there is a wall of separation between my wife and I, because there are pillows all up there. Well, if I want to have no separation, I've got to remove the pillows that separate us. You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus wants to remove the wall of sin between you and him. He wants to remove the problem of death between me and him. And he wants to remove those things from our life. Can you say amen? Amen. See, he wants to remove sin because sin causes death. But Jesus lives in a realm of life. By the way, sin causes death. And so we've got to know that without sin in the world, there would be no shattered lives. There would be no broken hearts. There would be no prisoners. There would be no one crushed and bruised. There would be no one that didn't have hope. Hear me. All the problems in the world are caused because of sin. You know, if we just take the Ten Commandments, they're very simple, and I'm not going to go through them all, but if every one of us, by the way, it's impossible without Jesus' help, but if we all just did the Ten Commandments, I mean, if everybody on the face of the earth did the Ten Commandments, there would be no more problems in the world like any of these things. No one would have their lives shattered, because no one would murder, and no one would be coveting, and nobody would be stealing. There wouldn't be anybody that has a broken heart because of these things. There wouldn't be crushed and bruised people. There wouldn't be poor people, because everyone would not steal from one another, but they would give to one another. By the way, can I simplify it further? If we would just do the two commandments, so I can't do two, I can't do 10, I can only do two. But you know what? You can't do two either. Not without Jesus. Yeah. Jesus said there's two commandments. The great one is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Then the Bible says the second one is like unto it: love your neighbor as you love yourself. The same way that you do for yourself, Amen. Do to your neighbor. Man, if we would just do those two things, the whole world would not have this problem. But we can't do those things. We keep doing the things, you know? Stop doing the things, but we do the things. We've got to allow Jesus to help us to be able to fulfill the law and the prophets through the avenue of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can I tell you that the church misses it? I want to tell you where the church misses it, because the church is not perfect. It is perfect in design by Jesus, but it doesn't do things perfectly just yet. We're still working on it. I promise you, we know we've got problems. But here's where the church misses it. This is the major one. I think that is funny how Christians claim this. They claim that the church is not a building. It's people. You ever hear that one? Especially in this time and in this season, it's all over social media. It's all over people's texts, and it's in the mind of so many people. I don't need to go to church. Church is not a building. Church is people. But they live a double standard. Here's where the double standard comes, and this is where the church misses it. That when they don't want to go to church consistently, they claim this. The church is not a building. It's people. So I can feel God out in the ocean. I can feel God when I'm out on a trail. I can feel God when I'm at work. I can feel God. By the way, if you need to work on Sundays, you need to work on Sundays. But if you choose to work on Sundays, that's a little bit different of a story, right? People claim that the church is not a building, it's people. And then at the same time, out of the other side of their mouth, they say that the church should do this or the church should do that, when the same people who are the church don't want to get their hands dirty and get involved. Ouch. Isn't that true? You know, oh, the church should really feed the hungry. No. You're the church, right? So you go feed the hungry. The church should evangelize people. The church should get people saved. Hold on now. The church is not a building. The church is people. Last time that I heard you talk. So doesn't that mean that you ought to preach the gospel to people and get them saved and lead them to Jesus? Come on now. Let's think about this thing really thoroughly and strongly. And I know I'm being strong today, but I'm doing it with a smile on my face because I love you. You know, the church is meant to be a place of healing, but we cannot be healing until we get healed. We need Jesus to come and to judge the church first. The Bible says that judgment comes to the house of God first. Here's part of it. We need to be the church. Let's not just use that as a convenient excuse to not come to church. Let's use that as a convenient impetus to do what Jesus wants us to do. Amen? Let's not just say the church should do this. Every time we're tempted to say the church should, let's just insert our name there. You know, Jake should really, yes, he should. He should do that. He should do that. And if we would do that, my goodness, the kingdom of God would be expanded so quickly. Amen. You guys doing all right today? Amen. All right. Here's the thing. I've got great news for you, Christian. I know I've been a little bit hard, but I've got such great news. Here's the great news. You know the one who has the cure for the ills of the world. His name is Jesus. Amen. Listen. If we'll refer our friends to a clothing rep for, you know, those leggings you just gotta have. If we'll refer our friends to a personal trainer for the fitness that they need in their life, if we'll refer our friends to a contractor who will build their house, if we'll refer our friends to a physician who specializes in a medical condition, why do we hesitate to bring people to Jesus when they can be healed, where they can be set free from bondage, where they can have the shattered pieces of their life put back together again? Hey, you know what? Maybe if you're worried about it's like, I'm not worried about Jesus. I'm worried about his followers. Well, maybe just give them a little insight that, you know what? Everyone at the pharmacy needs medicine. Warn them that everyone that goes to the doctor, except me, because I only go when I have to, because they tell me that you haven't been to the doctor in 7 years and we just need to make sure that you're still okay, you know? Unless you're completely healed and you're just going for a general checkup to confirm that you're totally healed, everyone at the doctor is sick. So when you're braced for that, it's not a shock to your system. Oh my gosh, I walked into this hospital and you wouldn't even believe what happened. Everybody there was sick. Everybody there had a disease. Oh my goodness, everyone there had something broken there. They had a problem. See, we don't do that. We don't freak out when we go to the hospital because we know what to expect. Hey folks, when you come to church, expect broken people. Expect sinful people. Expect people that don't do the right thing all the time. Expect people that are in a process with Jesus. Let's invite people to come to the house of God, because that is the place, guess what, where Jesus lives. He's in the house of God because it's his house. So we invite them to come to the house of God to meet Jesus, not to meet how spectacular everybody in Jesus' house is. If you want to know who Jesus hung out with while he was here on earth in his earthly life and ministry, this is who he hung out with: prostitutes, the thugs of the day, the tax collectors who were like the mafia of the day. He hung out with sinners, and he stayed away from religiously perfect people. Jesus condemned them, in fact. You know, he still does the same thing today, because he hangs out with me, broken, messed up. Without Jesus, I am a wreck, and my destination is hell. But with Jesus, I have a hope and a future. By the way, let me just put it in context of our current situation. Not sharing Jesus, who is the cure for every ill in this world, not sharing Jesus is worse than having a 100% effective cure for COVID-19. Having enough supply for the whole world, using it for yourself, but not sharing it with anyone else. It's worse than that. Can you imagine what it's like? I mean, maybe you are into like Chuck Norris jokes like I am. And maybe you've seen the one that says, Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer, but Chuck Norris never cries. You know what? It's a silly statement, but can you imagine if Chuck Norris's tears cured cancer? You better believe I'd find a way to poke Chuck Norris in the eye. See, if we have the answer for the world, but we've refused to share it, it's the same as not having it at all. My friend, we have a responsibility to share Jesus with the people around us. He can cure sin. Church, I want to share with you what our church hospital culture is all about. Some of this may be brand new to some of you. For some of you, it might be a refresher. But I want you to know that I'm defining our church hospital culture. For those of you that are virtually joining us by church, I welcome you to adopt this culture as your own, because it is a blessing of a culture. Here we go, and I've got to go quickly because I'm almost out of time. Here's the first thing, our first culture point about our church hospital culture. Number one, we celebrate all who come to this place. Amen. No one is despised for going to the doctor. No one's despised for going to the pharmacy. No one's despised for going to the physician to get help when they need help and when they're sick and when they're broken. Nobody says, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you went to the doctor. Nobody says that. They're like, you should go to the doctor, right? I'm telling you, you should come to Jesus. Nobody, we don't despise anyone for coming to Jesus. By the way, even that person that you've seen for 20 years coming through the door of the same church, that same person, by the way, maybe it was the toughest decision of their life to walk through that door today. Maybe it was the hardest thing that they did because they feel like they absolutely failed last night. Maybe they feel like they failed Jesus on the way to church because they flipped off a police officer and got a ticket. Maybe they feel like they failed because they didn't live perfectly this whole last week. Maybe they feel like they failed because they've been living in fear instead of living in faith. But when they bust through the doors of this church, my God, I pray that we would celebrate the fact that they overcame that and came to church today. You might smell like smoke when you come walking through the doors. You might smell like alcohol when you come walking through the doors. I mean, you might be tweaking when you come through the doors of this church. But you know what? You're welcome here, because we celebrate the fact that you're coming for Jesus and to get healed. We celebrate all who come to this place. Here's culture point number two about our church hospital culture. Everyone is welcome. Well, what if they're a liar? Welcome. What if they're violent? You're welcome. We're going to watch you, but you're welcome. We're going to protect our sheep, but you're welcome. What if they're a thief? You're welcome. We'll hold our things a little closer, but you're welcome. We won't provide opportunity for the devil in your life, but you're welcome. What if you're broken? What if you have a physical disease? What about leprosy? Pastor Jake, that's contagious. Come, I'll pray for you. I believe that there is a cure. I believe that Jesus is the cure. What if I've got COVID-19? Now, look, it's a totally different story in this day and age, and cooperating with mandates. Personally, come to my house. I will pray for you. You know, there is no one, everyone. See, listen, everyone. What if they're a murderer, Pastor Jake? There is no one that is too far gone for Jesus, the great physician, to heal. I'm going to tell you this right now, and I know it's going to blow some religious minds, but I expect that there are going to be murderers who make it to heaven, and there are going to be rapists who make it to heaven, and embezzlers who make it to heaven, and there are going to be people who preached in pulpits that will not make it to heaven. You know why? Because it's not your profession, it's not your actions that save you or condemn you. It's whether or not Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And a murderer might make Jesus the Lord of his life, like the thief on the cross next to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll see you later at home in paradise with me. There is no one too far gone for the great physician to heal. Number two, we are convinced that as long as there is breath, there is hope. My friend, if you are deciding whether or not you should show up at church because you don't know whether or not the church can handle you, the church can handle you. There is no one too far gone. And as long as there is breath in your body, there is hope. We're believing for you. Here's the third point in our culture here of our church hospital culture. There are no perfect people here. Amen. Look, when I come to church on Sunday, I don't expect to see perfect people. So don't put on your perfect act because I don't care because I see right through you. You know why? Because I see you through the eyes of Jesus. Because I can see myself in the mirror when I'm getting ready for church because I ain't perfect. I see it. Don't expect to come to church and put on a perfect act. It's not necessary. Amen. You don't have to flaunt your sin. But don't expect that everyone's expecting you to be perfect. We're expecting you to give your life to Jesus. By the way, we're never so perfect that we don't need him. I've been doing this Christian thing for kind of a long time now. But you know what? I need Jesus. And the longer that I live, the more that I realize that even the small things need Jesus. I am never good enough that I don't need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. And if you ever feel like you don't, my friend, I will say it really clearly and plainly with all the love in my heart. You are backslidden in your life. You need Jesus. The Bible says without him, we can do nothing. Here's the other thing that you should know about not having any perfect people here. This is what we understand. We are, every one of us, in process with Jesus. I am not perfect, but I'm getting there. Why? Because I'm on the perfect path. I'm on the perfect road. Narrow is that road, and straight is the path that leads to eternal life. And I want to walk it, and I'm going to fall sometimes, but I'm not going to walk alone, because woe be it to the man who walks alone, because there's no one there to pick you up when you fall. I'm going to surround myself with people that know me, that love me, and that will pick me up, not kick me when I'm down. That's what church is all about. Here's the next point that I want to give you, that this is a comparison-free zone. The Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves, they're not wise. What that means in modern vernacular, when it says not wise, it means you stupid. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Like, well, their sin is worse than mine. No. There is no ranking of sin. All sin will cause us to go to hell. Yep. Every sin. Yep. The Bible says there's no liars in heaven. You mean to tell me, Pastor Jake, that murdering and lying are exactly the same? No, they're different, but they will get you the same end, which is not heaven. And I want you to be in heaven. So I'm going to tell you that all sin separates us from God. And God wants us to be separated from sin. Amen? Amen. So here's the thing. This is a comparison-free zone. And I know this one's going to sting a little bit, so just bite down on something. Bite on your friend next to you or something if you need to. No one's favorite brand of sin is better than another's. Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, just because I'm familiar with my sin doesn't mean that my sin is a better quality. I have a more refined sin than yours. No, all sin is vile to God. Every bit of it. It all smells to him. Yeah. The Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags to him. So how about this? We all just realize that everybody is going to have a struggle that is unique to them, and my sin is not better than your sin. I like my sin better than your sin, which is why I do my sin and not your sin. We got to understand that, but that doesn't mean that my sin's okay just because I like it. It's important that we eliminate all sin. How do we do that? Through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. But just like in 12-step program, the first step is recognizing that we have a problem. Amen. Houston, we have a problem, and it's a sin problem. Here's the last thing that I want to share with you about our culture points in this church hospital. We are bringers. We're bringers. You know, a while ago, I had a bout of something that was going on in my body. I don't know what it was, but it was not okay for me to get into my vehicle and drive to the hospital. This was a couple of years ago now, and I don't even know to this day what it was, but something was going on, and it wasn't okay for me to drive my vehicle. You know, somebody picked me up and put me in their vehicle and drove me to the hospital to get help. And it's not because I had a lack of faith. I had full faith. But I also needed an IV at that moment until Jesus could completely heal my body before I died. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into the whole theology of that. I'm just saying this. Sometimes people need help to get to Jesus. There are stories in the Bible about people who broke open a roof to lower a man down to Jesus' feet because he couldn't do it for himself. There are some people that will never come to Jesus because they cannot bring themselves to do it. That's okay. Bring them. We are a bringing culture. We are bringers in the house of God. We introduce as many people as we can to the one who can heal us. Look, if you knew that there was a disease and you knew where to get the cure and that it was 100% available and that it was 100% effective, would you not bring those infected people to that place of healing? I know that you would because you're awesome. I want to ask you, Christian, if you know Jesus, would you please bring someone with you? Amen. I want to give you one last thing, and then I want to offer an opportunity for those of you that don't know Jesus, and maybe you've never heard this about the church and what it's all supposed to be about, and maybe you've been under condemnation, but you know that Jesus will receive you however you are, just as you are. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to give you one last thing today. You, my friend, Christian out there, you have hope because you have the cure. I want you to focus on this week. Who can you bring to the cure? Or who can you bring the cure to this week? Please don't let another week go by without sharing the cure. Please don't let another week go by without telling somebody. I mean, forget a week. How about let's not let this day go by? Let's not let this hour go by. I know where you can get fixed. I know where you can get the cure. I know how you can live. I want you to live. I don't want you to die. Let me tell you where you can get the cure. Who can you bring to the cure? And who can you bring the cure to this week? I pray that you'll make an appointment to bring the cure to them this week. Christians, we got to do better. Church, we got to do better. Come, everyone, and find healing at the feet of Jesus. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and maybe your life is shattered and you have nothing to offer, Jesus is not looking for anything from you. Maybe your life has been broken and bruised and crushed and you need to be revived in your spirit. Jesus can do that. Maybe you're poor, destitute. Jesus wants to give you good news that you don't have to be poor anymore. There's a way for him to bring you to financial freedom. Maybe you've not been able to see beyond the end of your nose because things have just been so difficult. Jesus wants to give you a fresh vision for your life. The Bible says without vision, people die. And I know that Jesus can give you fresh vision and fresh purpose for your days, for the rest of your days. And I pray that they're like 120 years long on the earth so you can do a lot on this earth. Maybe you're that way. I want to tell you that Jesus wants you. Jesus wants to heal you, and he can if you'll come to him today. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the way that you can receive eternal life is simply this. The Bible says that if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means that you say that he is the boss, the sovereign, the king, that he has the ultimate say in your world. And then if you would believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that means that he paid the price for your sins, that he died and that God rose him again from the dead. In other words, he is alive and well today. If you will do those two things, then you will be saved from all these things. I want to tell you that if you are willing to do that, I'm willing to lead you to the cure right now. His name is Jesus. And just like a cure, it might not be instantaneous that every symptom will disappear, but you stick with it and it absolutely will. I believe that Jesus wants to save somebody today. And if you would give your heart and your life and your mind and your crisis and your everything to him, he'll take it and he'll give you a new life in exchange. That's what's called being born again. That you trade in your old, broken, messed up, shattered, crushed, bruised, poor, can't see life for Jesus's healed, redeemed, blessed, increased, whole, healed life. If you're that person today and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've been doing things on your own and you've walked away from him and it's time to come back home, that you're not just attending church, but that you are the church, I want to pray with you today to come back home to Jesus. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's meaning it in your heart to the Lord. And this day, today, you can be healed and you can be assured that your destination is eternal life and heaven above. I want to pray with you today. If you would just repeat after me, it's not a prayer that saves you. It's believing in your heart what you're saying. I pray that you'll pray this out loud with me, everyone in this room and everyone across our many churches and everyone that's out there. And if you mean business with God, he'll mean business with you. Would you bow your hearts as you pray this today? Even if you're in your vehicle, if you're at work or whatever, get born again. Right. At your business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I declare that Jesus is the Lord of my life. He is my boss. I give him control, and I will follow him wherever he wants me to go. I'll be who he wants me to be. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll say what he wants me to say. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is not dead anymore, that he is alive, that he is the great physician, and that he can heal my every problem. I receive the cure today, and I claim eternal life as my own. I pray these things in Jesus' name, knowing that I'm born again and part of God's family, destined for eternal life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we just have a few moments left together, and I want to just invite you that if you prayed that prayer for the first time and meant that in your heart, maybe you've said that prayer many times, but you've never actually meant it in your heart. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it in your heart and you got born again, we want to ask you if you would let us know that you did that so we can celebrate with you. We want to send you a very awesome gift, and we want to send you a Bible and tell you the next step that you can take. I want you to comment in, email us, call us, message us. Let us know that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. If you were away from him and you came back home today, we ask you to do the same thing because we want to rejoice with you that you came home to Jesus Christ. Well, we also invite you to join us on Wednesday night for a time of prayer, 30 minutes of prayer, and I tell you, it flies right by. And join us for communion too, 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time on Facebook Live or on Zoom. keep your eyes peeled for those things and for the changes that are about to hit us this week. We know that God has great things in store for you, and we speak the blessing, the healing, and the acceptance of Jesus Christ over your life. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Have an amazing rest of your Sunday.